Motivation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this week we're going to talk about how to debrief yourself after a tough event or a tough race. Now, ordinarily, a debrief is something that would tend to happen with your coach, but if you don't have a coach or you're self-coached, then it's kind of something that you need to be able to do for yourself, because oftentimes it will bore your significant other to bits and you'll just see the eyes glaze over. And, you know, if you have a great support network of running friends, then that can be a great place to start, but it can often be good to sort of do at least part of the process on your own so that you're not sort of like taking on board other people's reactions and kind of integrating that. So you kind of know how you feel about it first before you take it to other people. So a lot of times, even if you're doing it with a coach, you'll sort of like sit down and reflect first before going to them so that you've allowed time for things to kind of crystallize and you know how you feel. Oftentimes with events, it might be something that you have been training for 3 or 4 months. It's taken up a huge amount of your time and a huge amount of dedication, and you've probably made sacrifices with going to bed early and getting up early and, you know, maybe skipping a few social things. And so it's not unusual at all to feel like you've invested a lot in it, because you have. And that pressure can be quite positive, but it can also, the flip side of that is it can be negative too. It can be too much pressure. There's sort of that finding that balance between like exactly the right amount of pressure. It's a bit how people talk about stress. Like with no stress, people tend to be extremely unproductive. But with too much stress, they're also extremely unproductive because they're too overwhelmed to do anything. And you've got to kind of have just that level of good stress. And with events, that's what you're looking for, is sort of like a level of good stress. I do tend to like to, you know, if you are looking at setting a PB in particular, then my preference is to have more than one event, because I think it takes that pressure off the first one. You can kind of use the first one to kind of like work out where the kinks are and, you know, gain a bit of experience, and then go into the next one like feeling a bit more settled with what you need to do. But that's not always practical. And a lot of times how it works is you have a training cycle and you fully commit to that training cycle, and for the most part it goes really well. And then you have a race and you don't have anything planned beyond that. And there is a lot of expectation, and that expectation is good. You know, that expectation can help to sort of like push you through the hard bits of the race. But if things don't go according to plan, then that expectation can also feel quite crushing at the end. So there are a couple of things that go along with that. One is, you know, even well before you get to the debrief in the beginning, it is about managing what your expectations are. And, you know, some of that is having A, B, and C goals, so that when one goal, for whatever reason, becomes out of reach, you're not like wafting off in no man's land with nothing to aim for. You've got like set things that you're doing next. Like, okay, this is out, but I'm still going to focus on that. And that's going to keep my head where it needs to be for the rest of the race, because oftentimes it's still a long way to go and you can't be feeling like you've already failed when you've still got, you know, an hour of work to do. So those things help with having that sort of staggered approach to your goals, but also kind of just going into it knowing that there are controllable factors. And for the most part, your training has controlled most of those factors. So it's exposed your body to the stress. You've done things specific to the energy system. You've ran with accumulated fatigue. You've tested out your fueling and your nutrition. You know what you need to do in terms of warming up. You know how to gut out hard patches and being able to see that when you do that, you come good. And all of those things you've controlled, you know, and in the lead up to, you've controlled what you can control in terms of getting enough rest and, you know, being able to get there with enough time to warm up and go to the toilet and do whatever else you need to do. But there are a huge amount of uncontrollable factors which far outweigh the controllables. And they're things like the weather, which is a big one. If you rock up to a race and it is hot, there is no two ways about it. That is going to impact on your performance, particularly if it's humid as well. Personally, I sort of can cope with a little bit of dry heat, but humidity kind of like sucks it right out of you. And you can kind of know that from how it goes in training when it's you get weather conditions like that, you know that it is just slower. Races are going to be slower too. They don't exist in some kind of magical unicorn land where humidity doesn't affect performance, it just does. You also can't really control how your body reacts on the day. Like, yes, you've exposed it to that kind of stress before, but on the day, it can just respond differently. So you could have stomach issues, which you've never had before. You get a cramp. You know, all of these things can just pop up. And it's important to know that going in so that you can adjust on the fly. And also know that that's always a possibility going in, just to sort of manage those expectations a little bit better and take some of that pressure off of it being sort of like the be-all and end-all of your training. And I guess that's the reason why there is so much expectation, because there's this sense that the race will be the celebration of your training, and you'd certainly hope that it would be. I mean, that's what you go in for, hoping for, and sometimes it is, but sometimes it's not. And a bad race does not necessarily mean at all a bad training cycle. Sometimes it's just a bad race. And, you know, probably one of the benefits of having done a fair few events and being able to get to quite a few through the year is that I would say my ratio of, you know, like they're not, I wouldn't describe all of the ones that aren't perfect as bad, but for every one perfect one that I have, I probably have, you know, like two or three bad ones, you know, like five okay, kind of mediocre ones, and, you know, like three good ones. So you know that the odds of everything kind of like falling into place on the day are not great. And that's all part of the learning process. And as much as you hope for that perfect run, you're never going to learn anything from it. And I've learned loads more from the times when I've had epically bad days at the office. And of course, I don't want to have a bad day at the office, but if I do, I'm going to come away with so much more to work on than if everything went my way on the day. So all of that being said, you would hope that all of that stuff would happen before you actually get to the race. But afterwards, I think the first important part of the before you even get to the debrief stage of things is to allow yourself to feel whatever you feel after the race, whether it's disappointment, whether it's frustration, whatever it is that you are feeling, just allow room for those feelings. I think it's really easy, particularly when, you know, you're involved in running and it is a bit of a subculture. So, you know, like people, other runners understand, but people outside it kind of think, oh, it's so amazing. You should be so happy. You just finished this, you know, this massive achievement. How can you not be happy with it? And for runners, you know, that's absolutely true. And you're always grateful for anything that you finish and you always appreciate what your body can do. But there's a difference between knowing that and how you feel on the day when you went in expecting and hoping to see what your body could do, and something on the day prevented that from happening, whether it was just not being in the right mental space, whether it was that you had a really stressful week, or whether it was something more sort of physical, like weather conditions or, you know, like body cramping or whatever it is. And you need to create some space to have those feelings and to not have them be diminished because somebody thinks you should feel a certain way. The only way you should feel is the way you do feel. And just let that happen for a little while, because you can't really move beyond that until you really feel what you feel. And sometimes allowing, if there is a deep sense of disappointment with an outcome, allowing that disappointment is going to help fuel your motivation for whatever happens next. But if you don't let yourself feel it and you just quash it down, then the risk is is you're just going to repeat everything that just happened. And possibly there might be some lessons in there of things that were within your control that if you had your time over, you would do differently. But because you haven't taken that space, you don't really, aren't really able to process that. So give yourself a couple of days. Let the feelings happen. Also celebrate the fact that even if it wasn't what you wanted, celebrate the positive aspects of it in terms of that you finished, or if you didn't finish, that you made a choice that was right for your body that is going to protect the long-term thing that you're most interested in, which is your health and your longevity in running, not one day. Celebrate how gritty you were under pressure. Celebrate all of the things that went well too. And, you know, as much as I want you to feel the sad and upset and disappointed feelings, you want to feel the happy feelings as well. And it's okay for them to just sort of like mix into one another, and they'll do that. And that's okay. That's just all part of it. And then after that's happened, I think a lot of people find this a little bit challenging, but it's really interesting to do and it's worth a go, even if you think it's really stupid. And that is just stream of consciousness journaling, because you will be amazed what will come out. When I've done it, that some of the things that I've actually written down, I almost didn't even know that I felt that way until I was just doing stream of consciousness, and just comes out. So you can get to some really sort of like core things that may not be on the surface, but you are definitely feeling, and you're able to kind of like bring them out to the front, which is what you really want. And after you've done that, you want to focus on like what was really disappointing about it. What was the thing that made it not a great experience? It might be, you know, like I had this really fantastic training cycle and all of these awesome training runs, and I felt like the fitness was just not there to draw on the day. And that was really frustrating not to be able to express all of the work that I've put in. Or it might be that you were disappointed because you put in all of the work, you had a really great run, and you just fell short of a goal by, you know, like a really teensy amount. And you just really wish that you'd been able to find something else in there on the day. Or the disappointment might just be that it felt hard and you feel like you're putting in all of this work and you're just not improving, which I think is probably the common thread that is the sort of the key of the disappointment. Most people, it's not the time, because the time's very arbitrary, and really it only means something to you. It doesn't mean anything to anyone else. But it is more, you want to know that all the work you're putting in counts for something, and to know that, you need to know that you're improving. And sometimes improvements show up in races, and sometimes they show up in training, but they're a lot more exciting when they show up in races. And then you want to have a look at what you did well, what works really well, what were the positives, what were your high points, and then you want to put down like what didn't go well, like both the things that you did that in hindsight were probably not the best choices, but also just the pain points in the race. Like in this section, I just really, really struggled. Or in this section, I just couldn't take on any more fuel and things sort of went a bit pear-shaped. In this section, I really lost focus. Or, you know, like in this section, I walked and then I couldn't get going again. And then it sort of started getting into my head. Whatever it is, all of that, right? All of that down. And then you can look at it and say, okay, if I knew everything I know now at the beginning, what would I do differently? And that's going to give you a real roadmap to things that you want to work on. So if it was something like really struggling in once you got over an hour, then you probably really want to look at fueling. Like fueling is probably like one of the biggest things. Like if you start slowing down and not being able to speed up, that's a clear sign of being underfueled. And it takes practice to be able to take on that fueling. So that might be your thing. You're like, okay, I'm going to start fueling all of my long runs to get my body used to this so that when I get to the next race, this is not going to be a problem. And also start fueling your quality sessions, because a lot of times what can happen is you're used to fueling things at a really easy effort, and when you get to a more intense effort, your body doesn't know what to do with it. So, you know, a combination of those things might be something that you'd work on. If it's that you really flagged in the last kilometer or two of the race when you were really hoping for a strong finish, then that's the kind of thing that you can work into your training sessions, you know, like always having this sort of tempo section at the end of a run to just teach yourself that there is always more in the tank for you to draw on. And the reality is, some things are not that there's no way you could have prepared for or trained differently or done anything different. But in some ways, actually looking at that and working that out can give you some real sort of like peace with the decisions that you did make on the day. And then after that, there are really only three things that you need to remember. The first thing is that something like this can be the absolute best thing that could ever happen to you, both in terms of training, in terms of motivation, all of it. You will be stronger, you'll have more to work with, and your mental strength will just be that more honed in that the next thing becomes almost inevitable. Second is that a bad run or a bad race doesn't define you, and it doesn't define your training. And the final thing is to be ready to go out and do it all again. That's it for this week. Don't forget that our walking group and our Learn to Run group are taking registrations, and the walking group is free for anyone to give it a go. And I will link those up in the notes as well. And if you'd like a topic that you'd like me to talk about, just leave me a comment anywhere. I will most likely get it. And I'll be happy to have a chat about that next week. Bye.